Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Dan Shaughnessy, been with the Boston Globe since 1981. He is also a Spink Award winner from the Baseball Hall of Fame. Got that in 2016. And Dan joins us, as all our guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dan, how you doing this morning?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Great. I guess I'm going to have to – I've got to start with the Dan Patrick-type question here. Where do you have the Spink Award? Like, is it prominently – is it on the mantle? Did you give it to your mom and dad? Where's
the
Spink
Award? Well,
my man
Sheldon Ocker's got the one that counts in 2018. But, yeah, so it's in the press box at Fenway, where it belongs. You know, we had Peter Gammons win that, and Larry Whiteside at our paper, and Nick Cofardo was the honoree for this summer, so we're proud to have Globe guys represented there, and it's always good to see Sheldon when we come to Cleveland.
Good deal, good deal. Yeah, Sheldon retired. We miss him quite a bit now in the Cleveland scene. Dan, how excited, obviously, with Cam Newton and this signing, it seems like it's all the buzz. Are they more excited in the Boston area for Cam Newton or the Sox getting started here in about a month?
Oh, it's Newton in a big way, and the Sox, I mean, Patriots are number one top dog here by a lot, and it's been a while, so, and that's understandable. I mean, they've won six Super Bowls, and he's really been the team of this century up here. So there's that, and it's all Newton all the time here, you know, since Sunday night when the news broke, and people are very excited about it, and there's all kinds of it's just good, and you guys know, doing a sports talk show, it's just good to have sports to talk about, and in the absence of games. We had the Brady departure right out of the gate, and then 3 months later, this happens, and it creates a lot of conversation, which is good for business.
Yeah, it's definitely been refreshing. You know, Cam, though, this is what I'm curious about, Dan. Cam beats to his own drum. Belichick doesn't really prefer people to beat to their own drum. How do you think that dynamic's going to play out, and in particular in press conferences where Newton tends to dress like it's Fashion Week?
Right. Well, you know, Moss had a little bit of that in him, and there's been a couple of characters come through here. Ocho Cinco came through, didn't work out too well. But I think if you play, that'll do it. And, you know, Newton maybe is a little bit humbled by, you know, he's kind of fallen off the pedestal as the big money guy and the MVP guy. So maybe he'll come in here with a little bit of a different approach to it to prove himself again. He's probably got a chip in his shoulder. We don't know anything. He could get sent home because he's damaged goods, and Stidham's the quarterback. But I think if Newton's healthy, that he's the quarterback, and that they have to obviously change the offense and see what he can do. But he's, you know, 31 years old, taking a million hits. He's got to be kind of big as he is, got to sort of stop that exposure a little bit, and I think contain things so he's less vulnerable to all those hits.
Dan Shaughnessy from the Boston Globe is our guest. In terms of the injuries, Dan, I mean, is it pretty clear that the Patriots haven't, other than just, you know, talking to him, maybe talking to a doctor and seeing videos, they haven't been able to vet him anymore since, you know, March or whatever, in terms of, you know, his injuries before this signing, correct?
Yeah, really hard to do in this climate because people aren't working out and you just can't do the things you would do in normal times. So, you know, they played against him last year, and that was a game he got hurt in. And, you know, Belichick, they're good students of the league and the game, but I think they just probably had him in mind from the time Brady left and just waited for the price to come down and the market to present itself where Newton really didn't have better options. And so then I think they sort of pounced at that time. And it's, like we say, it's kind of a low-risk gamble for them with a potential high reward. So it looks like a good move to me. I, I mean, everybody's got different needs throughout the league, and Newton's not going to come in to be your backup. So I think that they were well positioned to strike on this.
So if Cam Newton is healthy, and that's a big if, but let's say he is healthy, in terms of working with Josh McDaniels, is this a match made in heaven as far as what the Patriots do? I mean, accuracy at times has been a question with him.
Yeah.
So is it pretty much a perfect fit in that offense for him?
Well, it's just got to be different. I mean, McDaniels likes mobile quarterbacks. I mean, going back to his Denver days, and you know, he's had Tom Brady, and they'd certainly maximize that partnership. But I think that an O coordinator likes to have a mobile quarterback, and I think he will do that. It's just their system's hard to learn. It's going to have to change a lot if they go with Newton, just because of the, you know, the short passes, the checkdowns, throwing to the backs, all the stuff that they've done. And, you know, Dante Scarnecchia, their offensive line coach, has retired, so that changes things a little bit. And really, on the offensive side of the ball, they just have a lot of questions with their receivers. The line's pretty set. They could end up being more of a running team this year. I mean, strong chance of that. They will adapt to the people that they have, and right now they have Newton, unless he's hurt. And that's so I would expect you're going to see the offense considerably different than it was.
Yeah, Dan, in my eyes, you know, Belichick obviously hasn't had an under 10-win season since George W. Bush's first term in office. It's been a really long time, 2002. He's very good. But Stidham starting, I was like, all right, well, maybe it's a time for the Browns to go ahead and leapfrog the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time for us to see a little bit of changing the guard at the top of the AFC. Obviously got the Ravens ahead. Obviously got the Chiefs ahead. Where do you see the Browns and the Patriots as far as where they match up in the AFC? Like, does this make the Patriots back to the top?
Well, their fallback is the division, which is really weak. And I know the Bills had a good year last year, but I'm not sold on Josh Allen, and they're the Bills. So I just look back and say the Patriots will win the AFC East, and I think they would have won it before Sunday with Stidham at quarterback. I just do. I think their defense is really good. Their coach is the best, and they tend to sit back and watch you make mistakes and maximize that. So I just think that on sheer coaching and structure and system that they would have prevailed in their division. Throw Newton into it and they can compete, I think, for the conference. So I still have them as the best team in the AFC East and in the top four in the conference. So I don't think that much has changed over last year. You guys, I have no idea. I wasn't in on the Browns last year when they got the skill position players. I thought too much was made of that and that there was other stuff to do. And I mean, I always want the Browns to be good because it's a better league when the Browns are good. You have great fans, great stadium, and great city. So I hope they're good.
He's Dan Shaughnessy with the Boston Globe on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Dan_Shaughnessy. In terms of Jarrett Stidham, and look, we know Belichick is he's not really too concerned about egos or you know, someone's feelings getting hurt, but could this, like, and I think you posed this problem in your most recent column about this, could it be a situation where they go with Cam and Cam doesn't work out, as you mentioned in the beginning, and then they go back to Jarrett, and are they concerned about confidence? Is his confidence shaken a little bit now after professing their faith in him and then bringing in Cam Newton? How do you think that works out?
Well, their attitude, that would be too bad, Jarrett. You know, you haven't done anything to earn anything at this point, so you're just a guy, and they were, I think, if he was the best guy, he would have the job and go out there and manage the game. Now it's going to be a competition for the job. If Newton's healthy, he's the guy. And they're not worried about the feelings of a quarterback who's thrown like four passes in the NFL. That's the way everybody gets treated here, and especially when you have no resume, no credentials. They like Stidham. Obviously, they saw something they liked. They drafted him. They kept him around for the year. And in the absence of anybody else, I mean, he was going to start over Hoyer, I think. So, yeah, I think they were willing to go there. And it's almost the stubborn streak in Bill, which is the whole Matt Castle, I can win 11 games with anybody, and I think he believes that.
Dan, I always got a soft spot for Josh Gordon. How was he last year with New England, and is there any chance Bill goes and tries to bring him back again, or is that door just kind of closed shut?
I would think the latter. I mean, you know, everybody liked him, and you know, he's a sweet guy. Everybody liked having him around, but whatever the demons are, it just you can't rely on that. They don't want to be in a position to lose a guy, you know, toward the end of the season. And having that happen, it's just not something they want to revisit, I think. They gave that a shot. I don't see that being revisited now.
Hey, Dan, shifting gears to baseball here as we hopefully get started here at the end of July. Terry Francona, guy you're very familiar with, manager here for the Tribe, spoke to the media via Zoom call yesterday. He says, you know, he's excited. He's never thought about, never gave one thought to not managing this season because of his age or any health concerns. How do you think Tito, you know, knowing him like you do, how do you think Tito handles the all of the obstacles that have been thrown his way and everyone's way with a truncated season?
Yeah, we spoke last Thursday and had a good conversation. I cranked out a column. I think it ran in our Sunday paper. But he, I thought he'd be an interesting guy. He's always interesting to talk to. And he really had a good attitude about it. Just in terms of, hey, this is what we got to do. We got to make the most of it. I mean, I'm sure he repeated these things yesterday, but that, you know, we're going to be tied for first place at the end of July. You know, bring it on. This could really be fun. You know, the players have to trust the things that they've always taught them and police themselves, because if you don't run out your ground ball, there's not going to be people there to boo you, and got to believe in the things you believe in more than ever. I was amazed, because I was trying to kind of get him to be, you know, the cranky old bastard about how, you know, we can't show up at the park 20 hours early and you know, can't be loitering and lingering and chewing tobacco and all the stuff. And he pushed back most of my theories. And you know, I know he loves the clubhouse. He loves the clubhouse life. It's what makes him breathe. So to have that so altered, I was impressed at how progressive he was about it and willing to change, because he's more willing to change than I am. I mean, I'm the cranky old bastard too. So I was really impressed at the approach that he had to it. And yeah, he's you know, in the older side of some of the managers, and he's got underlying conditions. We all know that. He's not a particularly healthy guy, so I worry about that for him. But there's no way you're going to hold him back. This guy, he loves the clubhouse, he loves baseball, and you're the best manager in the big leagues, and good for Cleveland for having him.
And because he is one of the best managers in the big leagues, Dan, I look at the 10th inning with the runner on second rule, and I'm like, wait a second, everyone's going to be, there'll be bunting, and then they'll be trying to hit a sac fly. It kind of takes away one of our inherent advantages of having someone that's so good with the in-game stuff.
I agree. Yeah, I think you do, but it's going to be short-lived. I mean, 60 games, we're just going to have to live with it. It won't be part of the postseason, and I don't think it'll be part of next season. So some of that goofy, quirky stuff, it's just like everything else this year, nothing the same. So hopefully we all come back, you know, in next spring training, and we get a vaccine, and life gets back to normal, and we don't have to worry about it. But I think for the 60 games, he'll put up with it, we'll put up with it. But, yeah, I think it neutralizes. I mean, the same thing with if you have a really good team, I think 60 games neutralizes some of that. If you have a really bad team, you have a chance. So you guys are certainly on the better side, better good than bad. But I think that the really strong teams, the Dodgers, Yankees, get a little bit punished in a 60-game season as opposed to teams that could just strike lightning.
A few more minutes with Dan Shaughnessy from the Boston Globe here on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, Chico, and Jonathan in for the guys. As far as your Red Sox, Dan, when we look at this team and my gosh, the cheating scandal, whether it be them, the Astros, it seems like years ago with everything that's taken place. What is this team looking like for 2020? And, you know, after everything that's taken place, is there a lot of focus on what needs to be, you know, obviously on the field between the lines?
Well, they've got a weird situation now. I mean, they basically had given up on the 2020 season. They told us that in February when they traded Mookie Betts and David Price, a big salary dump. And the GM, the new baseball boss, said, we're going to be worse. Well, that's not usually what you put on bumper stickers going into your season. So it was, in my view, a white flag that it is a bridge year. And call it what you want, but that's what it is. So, again, they're one of the teams that might just benefit from what's happened. And that a 60-game season, they're going to mash. They always do. So it'll disguise some of their weaknesses. They could end up in the mix because of that. But it's not a particularly good team. The frontline pitching is very lacking, but they have guys who tend to get hurt, and guys like Eovaldi and Rodriguez, they don't get hurt in 60 games. They're good. So, yeah, a lot of the stuff that – and now Mookie Betts, gave him away for three prospects. Well, they only gave him away for 60 games now instead of the full 162. So some of the things that happened after them giving up have made their sins a little bit lesser.
Dan, we're obviously very much aware of the landscape of baseball and you know, television contracts and no salary cap. So we're kind of used to, for instance, Francisco Lindor is probably going to be gone sooner rather than later. We'll see. But how did Red Sox fans, because that's not a market where they're used to hearing somebody say, and like you said, you're not putting on bumper stickers, not used to hearing them say, hey, you know what, we've got to cut some costs, so we've got to move Mookie Betts. Did that, I mean, was there a major uproar with a lot of the Sox fans?
Yes, it's unacceptable. And again, you guys, you scuffle to sell tickets, and I understand some of the things about the market that are tough there. But here, they sell out every game. They have a devout, they have great local TV dough, making fistfuls of cash. It's all about the luxury tax threshold. They got to reset and all this stuff. And that's a hard thing to sell to your fans. They've tried to do it here. People don't buy it. I understand the realities and the seam heads they can talk about that needs to be done every 3 years, et cetera. But in real time, they're charging the highest prices in baseball. They have great, great loyalty and support, and you cannot sell that. They were crushed for giving away Mookie Betts. They will always be crushed for it, and I can only hope. Lindor, I love. I love him the way people here love Betts. I just think he's a generational player and a wonderful personality. I hope they find a way to keep him.
Dan, real quick before we cut you loose here, final question. We appreciate your time. Can this thing be resolved? Forget about this season moving forward. Can this thing be resolved with Rob Manfred and Tony Clark heading up each side?
Not optimistic. Again, this is when you, whoever thought would be longing for the days of Bud Selig, but it's you know, Manfred, Rob has been disappointing, underwhelming. And Tony Clark, I just, you know, he was a wonderful guy and a good player. I just think he's in over his head. So, and the climate is very bad, as you know. And I think they're headed for warfare after 2021. And I don't look forward to it. I'm very tired of the rhetoric. There's no appetite for it, not with what's going on in this country.
One of the best in the business, Dan Shaughnessy with the Boston Globe. We appreciate the time, Dan. Thank you.
Take care, guys. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Dan Shaughnessy on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A lot to get to with that. Obviously, fans there. I'll tell you what, I was a bit surprised. I know the Patriots have been very successful. I was surprised still to hear that it's much more Patriots than Red Sox and has been for a while because Red Sox are pretty big there as well. But, man, that Betts thing did not help matters. We'll get to that and much, much more. Also, the Browns kicked the tires on Cam Newton. We'll talk about that when we come back as well. It's Chico and Jonathan in for Ken and Anthony right here on 92.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.